So, quickly. As we mentioned yesterday, Hazina is not, as things go, the happiest of songs, right? It is the emphasis that there are consequences to what you do, and maybe God will save you at the very, very, very end, because he, in the end, doesn't want you to be destroyed. But there really are consequences when you do things. Now, for that reason, Hazina is invoked often throughout Tanakh, most strikingly in the first parak of Yeshayahu. What do I mean? What happens in the first parak of Yeshayahu? Where would I even look? How can I find it in this Chumash?
It's Haftarah Dvarim.
Thank you. It's the Haftarah of Dvarim, right? And in the Haftarah of Dvarim, it's Chazon Yeshayahu.
Yeshayahu foresees the destruction.
Correct. And he tells them, right, you're going to be destroyed because you haven't been acting properly. But this is what his second pasuk already is. After the Chazon Yeshayahu, what does it say? Shemu shamayim v'hazini eretz, ki Hashem diber, banim gidalti v'roman, v'hem pashubi. Listen, heaven and earth, the children have rebelled. Why is he invoking them? Right? It's a terrifying thought, but why is he invoking the heaven and earth and saying the children have been rebellious?
If it's Hazinu.
Because it's Hazinu. Hazinu is the warning, and now he's calling them to testify against the Jewish people.
Uh-oh.
Right? Right, Hazinu Hashamay. Right now, if you go back to the beginning of Hazinu, Hazinu Hashamay v'adabeira v'tishma haaretz imrefi. Right, and right Yarov kamadar lekhi, etc. And then already pasuk dalad. We read this yesterday, which is Hatsur tamim ba'alok yichol derachav mishpat el amunave navel tzadik v'yasharhu shichet la lo banav mumam dori keshu v'daltol. Right, the children are rebellious. Right, this is Yeshayahu calling the Jews to task and calling heaven and earth to testify against them, like Moshe said they would. Right? This is not like theoretical. He's saying, now you are testifying. Right? The implication is, this is why everything is going to go downhill, because heaven and earth are testifying that you didn't live up to your part of the deal, and therefore God is going to do exactly what he said he is. Now, perhaps the scariest one of the surprising ways in which Hazinu emphasizes this, and I was reading late last night. Or asked me, she's like, went to sleep early, she wasn't feeling well. She's like, how late did you come to sleep? I'm like, late. I was just reading things on Hazinu for a long time. So I was reading an article by a Christian, I think Christian, Bible scholar, but he has a nice analysis of the central metaphor of Hazinu. What is the central metaphor of Hazinu? Tzur, right? Starts right off that God is Tzur. But throughout Tanakh, God is often referred to as Tzur. And almost always, what does it mean that God is Tzur? God is our rock. What does it mean? Almost always in Tanakh.
Savior.
He's our Savior. Right? He's our Savior. Whenever you find Tzur, it's, right, we can rely on God. He's steadfast. Except, how is it used in Hazinu? To emphasize that what normally works in our favor does not work in our favor if we really, really are bad. Right? So how is it used? So first, Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo. Right? God is perfect. Great. That's good. He's steadfast. He's perfect. Except, what are the implications of that? That anything he does is just. Is that always going to be good for you?
No.
No, that's not always going to be good for you. Right? And this, right? So this just sets the stage for the rest of it, and if I just pull out some more, 1 second, to turn in pasuk yud chet, right? Tzur yilad chateshi v'atishkach el mechol lecha. Right, you've forgotten, right, God, you've forgotten your rock, right? Tzur comes up, I think it is seven times in Hazinu, right? So if you go here, right here, Echa yerdov echad elef ushnayim yanisu rivava imlo kitzuram micharam. Right? In Hazinu, it says, they don't realize, the non-Jews don't realize that what is happening. How could it be that they're being chased if not that their rock right? Which normally, again, in Tanakh is used as
a good thing,
right? Their savior, Tsuram Micharam. Their rock sold them down the river. Why would he do that? How is he steadfast? Isn't Tsur supposed to be that God protects us as permanently as a rock? And the answer is no, because God is steadfast. That means he's steadfast in protecting us, but he's also
steadfast
in justice. And if we push him to the limit, then his steadfastness manifests itself in being an El Amunah. Ve'navar, he's going to be perfectly just, which if we're really, really bad is going to mean that he sells us out. Right? Kilo kitzurenu tsuram v'avenu plilim. And therefore, right, you see...
Where does really Jews sign themselves out? Because God is always constant.
Correct, exactly. Right, and that's why here we use that same imagery in the opposite way, or in a negative way, but which is really the same. Right? I mean, that's the thing. Is God is steadfast, sometimes in his brit, right? Sometimes in justice, right? And the emphasis being in Lamed Vav is Ki Yadin Adonai Amo Val Yadon Necham Hirak Yazlat Yad Ve'Avet Asher Va'Azuv. Right? Yes, eventually he will judge our enemies, but only because we're in desperation. But fundamentally, it was legitimate for him to sell us away to the enemies, and that's not contradicting his steadfastness. Even though we normally relate to him as a tzur because he protects us. Right, there is that other element that part of God's eternity is that he is just. And again, that's why I say it's not. Now, yes, at the end, God's brit tzur component will come back, right? Which in the end of the day, he will judge our enemies. In the end of the day, he'll never let us be completely destroyed, right? But that complexity of God is our tzur, he's steadfast, which can mean that he protects us, but can also mean that he is steadfast to justice, is what leads to the fact that sometimes, right, those same qualities in God that protect us, right, force him to actually call us to task, as you see in Yeshayahu, right, that at some point God says, look, right, I put Shemayim and Aretz as witnesses against you, it's time to pay up, right? I didn't say Hazina was joyous, but I'll just end with this. It's important to realize all this because remember that the last thing that Moshe is told, again, we saw it last week, is make sure the Jews remember this song. Meaning, this song with all its depressing nuances and all the understanding that this actually happens and there are actual consequences of what we do, right? That is what Moshe's final message is. That's what we're told we have to remember. So remembering all the very painful messages of Hazinu is actually the last instructions that Moshe gets. Because remembering that there are consequences to what we do and that God is not capricious, it is fundamentally what's going to prevent us from going off if we're actually cognizant of it, which I guess in Yamin Arayim is not a bad thing to be thinking about. Okay?